All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and hello. This is Joseph G. with Rum Radio and our website, rumradio.org, the most comprehensive 12-step sponsorship in the known and the unknown universe. We'd like to acknowledge WNAH, Hoyt Carter and Tony the Horse, who affords us the opportunity to broadcast live to their listening audience in Nashville, parts of Kentucky and Arkansas, as a public service presentation. We'd also like to acknowledge RecoveryToday.net magazine. It's one of the finer recovery journals that affords us some print space from time to time. I'd gratefully like to introduce my co-host, Harold B., a family intervention specialist. He does a fine work with troubled families, and I personally believe the family is the basic unit of our society. And as the family goes, so does the country. Harold?
Hello, everybody. Hello, Joseph. Thank you for that introduction. And this is my opportunity to give back some of what I've received. AA has been very, very important to my recovery and to my life. I think I'd be dead without it. This addiction is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And so getting recovery and staying in recovery is only possible through action, and the action is all centered around the plan for living we call the 12 steps. And so working those steps has been important and vital to me and all the people I've worked with. It's like we are survivors from the Titanic. We found a lifeboat, and that lifeboat is AA. So I just want to take a moment to mention that Joseph has put together this website as his way of giving back. He doesn't make money from the website. It costs him money, but he invests in it gladly because it really emphasizes the thing that has helped him the most, and we've talked about this many times, and that's working with others. There's a chapter in the book, chapter 7, Working with Others. And so you can read along with what we're presenting tonight. We'll do some conversation. We'll talk about what we were like, what happened, and what we're like now. We'll talk about the steps, and we'll talk about getting back to basics, and we'll talk about working the steps quickly. And all of this material that we'll be talking about and reading to you can be found on the website rumradio.org, rumradio.org, O-R-G. So you can go there and read along. You can also call in and join in the conversation if you're listening on Sunday evening at 9 Central. So I'll turn it back over to you, Joseph.
Thanks, Harold. Let me give you that number if you'd like to join in the conversation, 949-534-0621. Again, 949-534-0621. I'll try to open up the chat room if you prefer to do a chat, you know, and talk about it if you feel uncomfortable going out to hundreds of millions of people around the world. Only kidding. I think this we're not large, but we're getting there. We're getting there one person at a time. And I believe that Rum Radio is going to make a change. But anytime you think that you're going to be able to change the world, it's either grandiose romanticism or politics. The only way you change the world is one man at a time. I'd like to start the program off with the third step prayer. It's in our basic text of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 63. I give this prayer. I don't give the prayer. I suggest to my new sponsees in the first 30 days of recovery one of their assignments is to call from their list, a newcomer's packet list, or a list of men that have signed a piece of paper or a booklet, or giving them permission to be called in case of incident or accident or the need for a drink or whatever, and ask permission to recite this prayer and do that for the first 30 days of their recovery. And I find it works really well when it gets the sponsor used to picking up the 500-pound telephone and asking for help. Most of us have an easier time giving service than accepting service. Not all, but most. I believe service is a spiritual concept, and it has a duality to it, and the duality is graciousness, allowing someone to give service to you. It's like rain that drops from the sky. It edifies both the giver and the receiver. It also encapsulates what we're going to accomplish, trying to work the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. It connects the sponsee with the home group. They get to know his name, and you get to know their name. And it also, if one of the folks that he's calling, one of the men he's calling, is thinking about taking that first drink of alcohol, the chances are greater that he will not once he's been given the opportunity to say the prayer. So here's the prayer. It's found on page 63. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen on that.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
Tonight we were in the Harold and I are in the same home group, and was a good lively discussion. I had been to an NA meeting several weeks ago, and I kind of felt kind of heavy in the heart about being there. I think it's a shame in a way that people have had to start NA and CA. From what I've seen, these are carbon copies of they don't use carbons anymore. I guess it's inkjet. I guess it's inkjet or laserjet copies of what AA is. And anytime you make a copy of something, and it's quite not as solid as the original. And I believe that we discovered the problem about 70 years ago, when a drug addict came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and there was a discussion whether to let him in or not, that these drunks would be sullied by the interdiction of a drug addict. And what were we to do? And this was a very big controversy. There was no telling what harm this might have come to us. And, of course, we're pristine drunks, so we had to be real careful who we let into our inner circle and enclave. And the question came up, what would the master do? And the master always refers to Jesus Christ. And then the answer was plain at that point. We have to let him in. Casting anyone out into outer darkness for whatever reason could be their death sentence. And who are we to make that judgment? So what we do is, and it's really simple, we let him in. And it worked out really well both for him and for us. And he sponsored a lot of men and helped get this ball rolling down the road. Now, 70 years later, we've branched off into other NA and CA and other programs because we failed to be all-encompassing and learning from our own tradition of acceptance. Harold?
Well, I have quite a bit of experience with NA, and I was so amazed to sit in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and listen to people be critical of others who may have also dabbled in pills, And after a careful reading of the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it became very clear that Bill W. not only drank to excess, but took pills as well. And so how quickly we forget some important facts. So as far as I could see, the only difference in the steps was in step one, which in Alcoholics Anonymous reads, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. And in NA it reads, we admitted we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Which actually I can appreciate a little bit more, because alcohol is down the street, it's at the store. I don't have any in my house. But my addiction, I carry with me. And so I found that there was a spirit of urgency in NA, and there was a spirit of this is a life or death struggle that I felt in NA more than AA at the time. And this was most of my experience with NA was since the year 2000, and especially 2004 through 2008, I helped keep an NA meeting afloat in a small community. I love the steps, and I love the traditions, and I give thanks to God on a daily basis that all of this plan for living was developed, and I use it, and I help other people use it. And I have found that the difference has become less important. I find more acceptance in AA meetings for people of all different persuasions and drugs of choice. And so the problem seems to be diminishing a lot. And so I've been looking forward to tonight's material. Our listeners will find that some of this is conversation, but most of it is read from the writings of from the steps and the traditions of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and some from other writings. Some of it is Joseph's writing. So when we're reading, we'll try to let you know we're reading, and when it's a conversation, we'll make that known also, and see if you can make sense out of this tonight. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. You know, there's these two alcoholics under a bridge, and one fellow's saying that, you know, he was in his self-pity. He said he was a professional man with a beautiful home and a beautiful wife and a house on the hill and a new car, and now he's been reduced to living under a bridge in a Lady Kenmore cardboard refrigerator box. And the other alcoholic says, wow, I'm impressed. You have a box? It takes what it takes, and we never know where the bottom is going to bring us. Everybody's different. Tonight we're going to be doing step 8 in the 12 and 24. That means taking a sponsee through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, or whatever flavor, your favorite flavor of addiction is. Otherwise, step 1 is the only step that mentions the problem or the addictive substance. The other 11 steps we call the solution. It's a design for living. Step 8, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Now it's loving. And that's the principle, loving kindness, and the simplicity of the 12 steps. We are now brought to the third section of the four compartmentalized elements of the process. A good sober friend of mine would often break down the steps thusly. 1, 2, 3 got me right with God. 4, 5, 6, and 7 got me right with me. 8 and 9, got me taught right with you. 11, 10, 11, and 12, keep me right with God, with me, and with you. We often hear in the rooms that the steps are in the order for a reason. This is quite true, as we could never have found the courage to fearlessly look inside ourselves if we had not first opened up the spiritual portal in the first three steps. Correspondingly, we cannot go make amends for selfishness, dishonest, etc., until we first open up the process of having our selfishness, dishonesty, etc., taken from us. Now we can turn to the damage that we have caused as a result of our illness, remembering that the harm we have caused is just that, a manifestation of our illness. Lying, cheating, fighting, stealing are as normal in people suffering from the disease of alcoholism as extremity numbness and blurred vision are in people suffering from the disease of diabetes. In this respect, we're not responsible for the damage, but we must be accountable. The data we are given on page 76 in the third paragraph is the following. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at step 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We make it when we took inventory. Now we need more action. This is the major theme in the 12 steps that we have managed to almost completely lose sight of in Alcoholics Anonymous. Consider, at step 1, we're told that you can smash the delusion, page 30, that you can never do this on your own, powerless. We start looking, page 45, for the power, step 2. At the end of step 2, we are told that once a man can say that he is willing to believe that he's on his way, step 3, page 63. At the end of step 3, we're told that as soon as we say the prayer, we launch into step 4, page 63. At the end of step 4, we're told that what we've written down is about to be cast out, step 5, page 72. At the end of step 5, we're told that if we're satisfactorily completed step 5, we then look at step 6, page 76. At the end of step 6, we're told as soon as we are ready to go ahead and say the 7th step prayer, page 76. At the end of step 7, we're told now we need more action and to make our harms list, step 8, page 76. At the end of 8, we're told now we go out and begin our ends, step 9, page 76. At the end of step 9, we're told that we engage the maintenance steps, starting with step 10, while we work in our amends, page 84. At the end of step 10, we're told, but we must go further, and that means more action. Step 11, page 85. At the end of step 11, we're told, but this is not all. There's action and more action, and that we move to the next chapter, which is entirely devoted to step 12, page 87. I like to say it this way. We're saved by grace after all that we can do, not after all that we can talk, not after all that we can think, not even after all that we can pray. The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead. Harold?
That's absolutely. There are so many that I've come in contact with who like to sit in the rooms and they like to hear people share and they listen for the stories. Sometimes they listen for the differences, but once they mature a bit, they listen for the similarities, and they listen and they talk, and some of the pain goes away. And the problem is, only when we've worked the steps and when we've given our fifth step and we've heard a fifth step, are we then really part of the organization. And so there, some false concepts have crept in somehow to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm not sure where they came from, but I hear them in all different places. And one you mentioned tonight is that people should wait 1 year before they begin working the steps. That is not in the book, and it's not helpful. It's actually quite risky. I don't know where it came from, but it needs to be eliminated. It's in one of the ideas that we need to smash. So I'm really happy to be working on these ideas that we can lead people through the steps very quickly and efficiently, and that we should. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. Yeah, I was kind of surprised. It was one of my sponsees, Dan, ship's captain, like a Joe Hazelton type. He did the oil tankers. And in his home group in New Jersey, and that's not all of New Jersey, don't get me wrong, that his home group, and I understand some groups in Canada, they do the year. Now, in the AA pamphlet, it suggests waiting a year before you sponsor. I don't know where that comes from either. That's not program, but it's in the GSO conference-approved literature pamphlet on sponsorship. Of course, now I tracked it back as best as I could. Our understanding is who we are now after working the steps and being a year in sobriety will not be who we are later, not to make any sudden changes or decisions. So I'm guessing that's where the year came from. But the problem when you set a time frame like that is that you're going to get something like you have to wait a year. And not only didn't they get a sponsor in the home group, they sent you to step studies after a year of going to meetings. So it was completely convoluted. This was not AA. But some people were getting sober because you know why?
Through osmosis.
Yeah, well, they wanted it so bad. That's the problem. If you really want it bad enough, there's nothing really your sponsor can do wrong. And if you don't want it, there's really not much your sponsor can do right. The problem comes later when it's your turn to sponsor and you haven't got a clue what to do. You just wanted it so bad, and maybe your prospect doesn't want it as bad as you wanted it. So this is where Rum Radio comes in. This is where the Big Book comes in, and the understandings of going through the step in a thorough yet timely manner. And now the Big Book tells us thoroughness will pay off and pay off handsomely. But it's only going to pay off if you don't sacrifice timely for thorough. They did all the steps in a couple days. Now this is 12 and 24 hours. But now you don't have to do it in 24 hours. You could do it in 48 hours or 72 hours. You could take a week. You could take 2 weeks. You could take 3 weeks. You could take a month, etc. But at least it gives you a platform of understanding. You can't really cookie cutter this thing, but you can have tools. Not every automobile that a mechanic works on is the same manufacturer, although he has some common tools that work on all automobiles. And some automobiles need special tools because we're just such unique carriages. Harold?
Absolutely. So it was a wonderful realization to begin to understand some of the writings that you were interested in and begin to see from 1935, 36, 37, that they led people through all 12 steps in 1 or 2 days. It can be done in 24 hours. And so that is fantastic. For some people, that capability, being able to work on it and move through it very efficiently, is life-saving. So it changed my outlook and gave me a whole new energy to get working on the steps with my sponsees and get working on them fast. And yes, we want to be thorough. We also want to move through efficiently so that we can begin to reach out for others. What I like to remind people that are new in the program is that one of the things we're really doing is preparing each new person to, after they've worked the steps, to then lead someone newer through the steps themselves, because that's where the real benefit and real recovery come from. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. The cadence with which we go through these steps is made abundantly clear within our basic text, and yet the notion that the steps are meant to take upwards of a year is offered up to newcomers constantly within our rooms. The eighth step goes on to tell us that faith without works is dead. There's not too many biblical quotes in the book, and yet this one shows up three separate times. They're letting us know that the power of our faith, and henceforth the power of our recovery, will never be based on what we think or what we feel. It will always be based on what we do. Notice, it does not say that faith without works is on life support. It is dead. Now we find out why this step is so incredibly simple. They tell us that this is the list we need to make. To make is a list that we already have. We made it when we did our moral inventory in step four. If we've done a proper fourth step, then we ought to have a list of people we have harmed. Clearly, they can be moved right over to our eighth step. Additionally, as we looked at our resentments and delineated what our part was in this resentments, we probably found that some of the people we resented were people whom we had also harmed. They too can be shifted over to our list. This should provide us with at least 95% of the data we need. We might then just take a look at anything that might have been forgotten or missed, and those as well, and ought to be complete. I would add this: we can be only as complete as we can be at any given time. That's why I think the timely is more important than the thorough, if it balances out, is because usually other things will come up later on. Things that you would have not considered at this time in your recovery, and as you grow spiritually, you're going to have aha moments. Yeah, I was wrong with that. I never looked at it that way, but yeah, I was wrong. I hurt somebody because I was drinking, and that might come years later. Now, steps 8 and 9 are about the past. So we have 4 and 5 is really about the past, and then 6 and 7 are done on a regular basis, and then 8 and 9 is about the past. So, but what we do is step 10 is steps 4 through 9 taking it in the present. So we could either move it, or we could do another fourth step, a modified fourth step, another modified fifth step, because it's a very short deal if it has to do with the past. If it has to do with the present, it's encapsulated in step 10. But things do come up that you would not have. So Bill W. supposedly did two fifth steps. So the assumption is he did two fourth steps. We don't know for sure. It might have been the same one, but more than likely he did two. So for every fourth step, you always do a fifth step. It always brings more, comes up. More comes bubbling up from the ooze as you become spiritually aware. Our first task is found in the second part of the eighth step is written. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. We must bear in mind that the completion of our list is only half the battle. We must be able to look at our list and make sure that there are no amends on there that we refuse to make. This is not to say that these potentially difficult amends must be made first. We do not need to know how or when these amends will be made, or made at all. But we must have the willingness. If we have even one of them to which we can say, I will never make this amend, then we must remain on step 8 and pray for the willingness to be willing to make that amend. On the other hand, if the prospect can say he is willing to make them all, we look to step 9 and get them started on that amends. So that was the 12 and 24. Now, I believe that what we've done on the website is that we've gone a little deeper on doing this on step 8. There's quite a bit of information on the step by step. I think it clarifies a lot on step 8. There's questions, and then cute little vignettes. You're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. The big book tells us that the alcoholic is like a tornado roaring his way through lives of others. Hearts are broken. Sweet relationships are dead. Affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. Ain't it grand? The wind stopped blowing. We feel a man unthinking who was unthinking when he said that sobriety is enough. Okay, Doc, it's time for an upfront and complete personal examination how we have harmed people in the past. The step is a prescription for developing a more productive, fulfilling, and satisfactory way of dealing with others. And AA 12 and 12 says, step 8 is the beginning of the end of isolation from our fellows and from God. Nobody ever forgets where they buried the hatchet. The stupid never forgive or forget. The naive forgive and forget. The wise forgive and never forget. We will not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. Harold?
That's a very important principle in my recovery. I come across a lot of people who have such painful pasts and they just want to forget about it. And that's what has caused a lot of the drinking and drugging in the first place, is that people drink to forget. A lot of people drink to forget, and it works fairly well. It does make people forget, but that's not what this is supposed to be all about. If I can talk to someone that I can trust, I can learn to process what happened, learn from what happened, and then I'm in a position to help someone who's also had a similar experience. The whole thing is to be accountable for what happened and what is our part, to not try to be too accountable. We don't want to take the blame for things we didn't do, but we need to find that balance, and then we need to learn from what we did. We need to learn from our part and allow other people to be accountable and learn and then pass along the things that we've learned at a later time when we encounter people who've had similar experiences. And right at this time, current events in the year 2012, this year has been stained by the horrible child sex abuse case at Penn State, and the jury convicted Sandusky of 45 counts. And so rather than being accountable and stepping forward and saying he's sorry, he's decided to file an appeal, which in essence is saying, all you young men are liars, which just heaps more hurt on these victims. And it's so sad to see. It's rough enough to heal from something like that when the person responsible will be accountable. It makes it much more difficult if the person is continuing to turn around and call his victims a liar. So I just it hurts my heart when I hear what some people respond. I just wish and pray that all the people that were harmed can get the help they need and the healing they need. And if part of it is drinking to forget, I hope they find AA and people in there that will love them, and until they can love themselves. The most interesting and tragic part of someone who's been abused sexually is the fact that they blame themselves. We tell people not to, but they do. So that's where we're at with that. Joseph?
Thanks, Harold. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. I believe that the man is in denial. He can't face his own shortcomings and is taking the advice of his counsel to avoid as much punishment as possible that would be met out by the justice system. He's going down that path. It would be nice if the man could turn around and say, you know, I did it. I'm wrong. I apologize, and I'm willing to take it. And, you know, that's when the greatest mercy comes. But until then, he's going to be fighting an uphill battle, no doubt about it. In New York, there's 9,000. We've had a little over 9,000 hits in New York. And, you know, the problem they have in New York with Rum Radio, don't you, Harold?
What?
Forget about it. Hey, forget about it.
That's funny.
We don't have to do it. We could just, hey, forget about it. Anyway, okay, so that's enough out of me. According to the AA 12 and 12, step 8 and 9 involve this process. First, we take a look backward and try to discover where we have been at fault. Next, we make a vigorous attempt to repair the damage we have done. And third, thus cleaned away the debris of the past, we consider how, with our newfound knowledge of ourselves, we may develop the best possible relations with every human being we know. This is a very large order. Huge. We are coming to write a list of all those people we've harmed, taking from our fourth step, inventory. People and situations long buried in our convenient memories are now resurrected, making demand of conscience and justice. We add their names. The AA 12 and 12 says, we ransack memory for the people whom we have given offense. To put a finger on the nearby and most deeply damaged one shouldn't be too hard. Then as year by year we walk through our lives as far as memory will reach, we shall be bound to construct a long list of people we have to some extent or other been affected. Follow the yellow line, no gold bricking here. I got that from prison. When you're in prison, there's always a yellow line that you have to follow. AA 12 and 12 suggest that we conduct a deep and honest search of our past motives and actions, rejecting the idea that we have harmed no one. You don't understand. I'm the victim here. When we were drinking and drugging, someone was always compromised. It's time to take off the blinders. We look only to ourselves and our side of the street. No matter how tempting it is to look away from our wrongs, don't look here, look yonder. Look at the alleged wrongs, real or imagined, that have been done to me. You know, Harold, I've had some really hard times in my life. I've really experienced some really tough times, some of which actually happened. See,
yes.
when we're making a list, checking it twice, you're going to tell when we were naughty, ugly, and not so nice. Is a suggested format. In the first column, name of the person harmed. And a lot of this information should come from your fourth and fifth step. Write down the name of each person harmed. It turns out that the harm received was greater than the harm inflicted. You list their name just the same. These names will come in handy in the ninth step in column two, relationships. Describe the person person's relationship to you, brother, parent, spouse, employer, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, or any other so-and-so. Two, in column three, nature of the harm. How did our behavior hurt the other person? The 12 and 12 defines harm as physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual damage to people. Some examples offers are consistently bad temper, lying, cheating, selfishness, irresponsibility, callousness, being cold to other people, impatience, being critical, and attempts to dominate others. Being armed with a continuous complaint and negative demeanor. These are the behaviors for which we will make amends in step nine. In column four, character defects that caused the harm. With pen in hand, we write down the character defect that had caused the harm we had listed in column three. Our recovery depends upon the healthy elimination of these waste products, or at the very least, we need to reduce the number, power, and frequency of these character defects. A 12 and 12 says we could go far beyond those things which were superficially wrong with us, to see those flaws which were basic flaws, which sometimes responsible for the whole pattern of our lives. Thoroughness, we have found, will pay, and pay handsomely. And looking back over our relationships, we ask ourselves whether or not we are willing to forgive those people that have harmed us. Our ego, pride, and our bloated sense of self-righteousness that helped us to identify ourselves for such a long time are now being challenged. In the last column, am I willing to forgive the other person? Enter yes or no. One point I think it's important to make. Step eight is no action. The only action is writing the list. That's the action. Nothing else is required on step eight. People sometimes, some of the folks will be, I have harmed one, I've harmed myself, that's baloney. The other ones are, I can't, they want to do the ninth step immediately because they want to get a quick fix and get it off their mind and off their back. Neither one of these two work. The steps are set up in a particular sequence. This is the willingness step. This is the mustard seed step. And step nine is the execution of that faith and the courage that comes with that faith and hope. If we fail to forgive, do we not continue to judge? And with that same measure, is it not put back upon us? And amend, think of like mending a piece of cloth. The resources available and the person is available. You have the thread and you have the needle. The resources are available and the person is unavailable. You have the thread and you don't have the needle. The resources are unavailable and the person is available. You have the thread, but you do not have... Oh, I think I did that twice. You don't have the thread. There you go. You don't have the thread, but you do have the needle. And the last one, the resources are unavailable and the person is unavailable. You don't have the thread and you don't have the needle. Some people are not available or you don't have the resource. The forgiveness you give is equal to the forgiveness you take. Harold?
Yes, it really helps to go through the list and understand... And we all have combinations of those resources and the thread, the needle, the person, the resources. We don't have the person. We do have the resources. It really helps. And of course, when you're in early recovery, your thinking isn't that good. You're not thinking straight, and your sponsor can really help you sort this out. Go through it piece by piece with you and slowly and gradually get all this down on paper. And it's an excellent reminder that this is about taking pen and paper and putting all this stuff down on paper. That's what this step is about, and not going out, making the amends. There's no quick fix. There's no silver bullet. But every bit of effort you put into this will pay off. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. And I'll repeat again, the forgiveness you give is equal to the forgiveness you take. We avoid the temptation to look at the type of the amends or the consequences that might arise from making those amends. Those issues are reserved for...
Uh-oh.
One on the list.
Oh, there we go. You faded out for a moment. Step 9. Uh-oh, Joseph, I've lost you. We've got 10 minutes left. I'm going to continue reading. The material we're reading is off the step-by-step on rumradio.org if you want to follow along, the drop-down list on the left. We avoid the temptation to look at the type of the amends or the consequences that might arise from making those amends. These issues are reserved for step 9. Step 8 is to become willing to make amends to everyone on the list. We have to keep an eye on the prize, stay focused on the goal, and not let a fear-based future of real or imagined consequences stop us from putting someone's name on the list. We are now trusting in God and the process. It's a full house in the amends room. So the challenge is, are we now willing to make amends to all these people, regardless of the personal cost? Only when we can answer yes has this step been taken. Willingness purchases the hot air balloon of ego.
Puncture.
Oh, there we go. Now I can hear Joseph.
Yeah, I thought you went out. I went out. It was a drop, and then I'm back.
Well, I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad I'm back. Keep coming back. Yeah.
Once again, we take a trip down memory lane. You want to read it?
Okay, and revisit the painful adventures of the past in which our character defects have manifested themselves. We own up to the wreckage of our self-will has caused us. We can no longer play beat the clock. It's time to admit to our faults, mistakes, and character defects, not only to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, but also to the very individuals we have harmed. Ooh, ouch. We have to make amends for what we have done. We accept both responsibility for and the consequences of our past behavior. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to freedom and a new life. There is no other way to put the guilt and shame of the past behind us and ensure that we will not behave that way again. The exception makes the rule. The rule is there is no exceptions. Besides developing the willingness to make amends, the hardest part of this step may be developing the willingness to forgive. The heart of this step is forgiveness. We forgive them no matter what they have done to us. We forgive them so we can be free. A little hate binds us, love frees us. It's either hell in a handbasket or heaven's gate. I got a little picture on the website, and some people in a basket, and there's a cop with a horse in there in like a lava pit, and he goes, "Where are we going, and why are we in this handbasket?" So, it's cute. Those whom we hate or hold a resentment, we remain tied to. When you live in fear and resentments, you know what it feels like to be a slave. We are enslaved by our resentments, freed by our love. When we can forgive, we convert slavery into freedom. If forgiveness doesn't come easily, we pray daily and ask God to grant his favor upon the person of our resentment. Even if we don't meet it first, it is through forgiveness that we can finally let go of the past and start anew. We do an
eight. I have the most wonderful. The most wonderful advice from a little lady, very spiritual and faith-based, and she said that forgiveness is the willingness to give up any future claim to revenge.
Oh, yeah, I remember
the willingness
that.
Future claim to revenge. That was a definition I could get my teeth into. It really helped me a lot. And it doesn't mean that I have to be around the person. If I forgive them, I don't have to be around them. But I do have to give up any claim to revenge in the future. That frees me. The heading on the 12 and 24 for step 8 was about is it true? Is it kind? Did you take any opportunity to explain those questions and where they come from?
Would you want me to?
Oh, I'd love it.
Well, it's something I actually heard in a meeting one time, which I hear my best stuff. I hear the best stuff in a meeting. A lot of the stuff that I do, some is original. I'm creative, and a lot of its stuff is pandered from meeting understandings. This is when we speak. When we speak to someone. The three criteria, you know, the several criteria, and this is the criteria. Is it necessary that I speak? Is it true what I'm speaking? Is it kind? And using those three criteria to interact in a conversation, you won't be talking much.
Well, that's a great a list of criteria. And for in my line of work, I get to talk to so many families and individuals, and people sometimes say, well, I was just telling them the truth. I also combine that, you know, that's not the only qualification. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Does it need to be said now? And does it need to be said by me? And so that list of questions can be very helpful in helping people figure out whether they should beat somebody over the head with the truth or maybe remain silent. I like that list. I'm glad that we had a moment to talk about that. Joseph?
Thank you. If there are no further questions, okay, you with your hands up in the back. Do I have a list of everybody I've ever harmed? That would be a big yes. Of course, you can't remember everyone you've harmed. Do the best you can. Don't obsess. A quiet, objective view is our goal. When in doubt, a tie goes to the runner. Put the name down. What if I don't know where they are? No matter. This is a list of people you've harmed, not a list of people you have harmed that you can easily get in touch with. What if they hurt me more than I hurt them? It does not matter if they harmed you. This is an amends list. Let them do their own list. We're cleaning our side of the street. Their side of the street is just that, their side. What if I don't want to make amends to them or they don't deserve it? First things first, you put them down. The first part of the step is to make a list, all those you have harmed. The second part of the step, being willing to make amends to them, all comes in and made the list. Ah, two parts, A and B to 8. What if I got drunk at a party and did or said something that was very bad to a blind date and they were also drunk and I never saw them again? Sounds very alcoholic thinking, doesn't it? I took their seeing eye dog. Someone had to drive. The dog was the only one sober enough to steer. If you remember and harm was done, then they go on the list. Our goal is to clean up the wreckage of the past. A lot of wreckage, a lot of names. The step is about making a list and being willing, so it doesn't matter whether or not you know where they are. What if I remember what happened, but not the name of the person I've harmed? List the incident and describe it. They're probably in a witness protection program by now anyway. This could be a very long list. It could take me a long time to write it. then there's no time to waste. I have a copy of the New York City directory. Let's start with the letter Z and work back. What if I get into serious trouble if I make an amends? If I'm your sponsor, you're already in trouble. This step is not making amends. The amends to the person you have harmed. It's not even about deciding what kind of amends to make. It's only about making a list of those you have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. It's the ninth step that will consider the type of amends that needs to be made. So put the person's name on the list and the nature of harm that could get you in trouble if you made an amend. Do I have to list the specific character defect? Remember, you're trying to free yourself from the bog of your character defects, so it'll be helpful to see how they continuously snare you in everyday life. This will make clear just how much harm your character defects have caused you and others. We get to see with a new pair of glasses that encourage us to act differently going forward from here. We not come from where we stand. What if I'm not willing to or able to forgive someone on the list? Then it's time to raise some Cain. Focus on your part and how it contributed to the harm. When injured in an auto accident and failing to put it on your seatbelt, it is considered contributory negligence. It reduces the award. What was your role in it? Reread the homework assignments weekly. Pray daily for the problem person, whether or not you mean it, especially if you don't mean it. You can't pray a lie, Mark Twain. There was this hiker who was so taken back by the majestic mountain scenery, he wandered too close to the edge and slipped off. Fortunately, on the way down, he caught a limb protruding from the side of the mountain. He looked around and estimated to be about 800 feet above the rocky canyon floor. He started losing his grip, and in desperation, he called to the heavens with a knife, "Lord, please save me." The heavens opened up, and the voice of the Lord echoed through the canyon wall, saying, "I need you to trust me and let go." The fellow explained, "Lord, it's 800 feet to the bottom. I will surely die." Again, the voice of the Lord said, "Trust me and let go." The fellow, with his remaining strength, looked up and yelled, "Is there anybody else up there?" You still with me, Harold?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I heard that story back in the 80s. And it was said that he fell off a cliff in the dark, and he grabbed a branch. His feet were only a few inches from the ground, but he didn't know that because it was pitch black. And then he said, "Is there anyone up there?" God said, "Let go." And he said, "Is there anyone else up there?" But the point was, when we're in the dark, you know, God can, anyway, not important.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Oh, we've got 2 minutes to go. So the eighth step resembles the fifth step in that it's admitting to another person the exact nature of the harm we have caused. We have to discuss the amends list, give the person's name and relationship, describe the behavior, identify the specific character, confirm that they're willing to forgive, continually they're willing to make amends. We go through the list. How far is a length? How long is a piece of string? We've agreed to go to any length to achieve sobriety. So I'm going to change that. I like the night better. I like the darkness. I didn't hear it that way, and I repeated the story that I heard. But, you know, I think AA has turned into a little bit like when we played telephone in high school.
Yes.
You would give a statement to somebody, and then it would go around the circle like a telephone, and you whisper in the next person's ear a statement, and then they would take that statement and whisper it into the next person's ear, and around she goes. And by the time it comes out, depending on how big the circle, it doesn't look anything. Something is added. Something is lost, and it's definitely all been changed. And I believe that's a lot what's happened in the rooms of AA, and that was one of the initial impetuses of putting Rum Radio together, because I think we didn't have any sponsorship platforms. Nobody would
say that again.
Yeah, everybody's shooting from the hip. People are dying. I heard one guy in a meeting one time, he said, if you didn't drink with your sponsee, you were a good sponsor. And then he would say, I'd never had anybody stay sober. And I'd go, come on, Gerald, are you listening to yourself talk? But anyway, so we'll see you on radio, rumradio.org. Good night.
Good night.